Blog Talk Radio.
I keep, I stand amazed as stars on the billows gleam. No, I know a storm is rising high above a dark horizon. I know, oh Lord, I know you are here with me. So let there be light, Lord, let it shine out of your heart and here and in mine. When it rains from heaven above, let it rain sweet heavenly love. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. There's a call on the restless tide, like a longing endless night. And it breaks the bow like a raging symphony. And though I may be far from shore, I am anchored to heaven's door. And oh Lord, I know you are here with me. Let there be light, and Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here and in mine. Lead me out of the eye of the storm into the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded by an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, I'm surrounded by an ocean of your love. So let there be light, and Lord, let it shine. Promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, oh Lord, oh Lord. Let there be light. Let there be light, sweet Jesus. Let there be light. Let there be light, oh Lord. Let there be light.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon, and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie. Today's topic is Culture of Confusion. And I can't wait to get into this broadcast today. It's going to be wonderful. Well, before we bring Sister Marie on, she's already in studio. She's already come out of the green room. The makeup artist has already touched her up. She's set to go. But before we bring her on, before we bring on Sister Marie, let me just make a few quick announcements. If you are in need of prayer, if you would like for us to pray for you, you can send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. And we promise to keep all of your prayer requests confidential. The second announcement I would like to make is that Sister AJ is scheduled to be in studio tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to do her weekly show, Is This the Church? And if you are desirous to go to Bible school, if you want to train for the ministry, if you want to be able to serve God's people the way Jesus would have you to serve God's people, we have a Bible Institute that is right up your alley. First of all, why is it up your alley? Well, there's no registration fee, there's no tuition fee, and there's no textbook free. It's a free school, a free Bible school. If you'd like to know more about this Bible school, or if you would like to register, send us an email at iibms2020@gmail.com. IIBMS is short for International Institute of Biblical and Ministerial Studies. So again, it's iibms2020@gmail.com. And as soon as you send us that email, you will automatically be registered. There's a young man by the name of Miguel Rivera. He will help you by informing you of all the things we have to offer and how you can start taking classes online. It's an online school of ministry. And then finally, I need some media missionaries. Would you like to be a media missionary? We have printed 15,000 cards. We have 15,000 cards printed up. And these 15,000 cards are designed to help people who are stuck in bad churches. And by bad churches, we mean churches who have these Roman Catholic bishops. If you look at many churches in America today, pastors are going from being pastors to being bishops. If you have family members going to a church where the pastor went from pastor to bishop, and he's dressing funny, and he's dressing Roman Catholic, and he's sounding Roman Catholic, well, we have some postcards that you can give out to your family members who are going to these entrapping churches. And on the postcard, we're advertising certain books that they can get for free, some e-books that they can get for free. And with these e-books, they will download the books. We will send them the information. They'll get the book. They'll begin to read and know why they need to hightail it out of these apostate churches that will soon be receiving the Antichrist. So again, if you want to receive the postcards, the advertisement postcards, and all you got to do is listen. When you have a family reunion, and family reunions are coming up, there's going to be family barbecues, take some of these postcards with you, and if you know you have a cousin who goes to one of these rotten churches, or you have an auntie who goes, or you know, you have a brother or a sister who goes, just give them the postcard and say, listen, it won't hurt you to ask for this free book. And once they email us, they'll get the free book. You would have been a media missionary. They will read the book. Their eyes will be open, and they'll hightail it out of those churches. So if you want to be a media missionary by receiving these cards that you yourself can either mail out, you can mail them to your family members, or you can give it to them when there's a party, a birthday party, a family reunion, a picnic, whatever. Send us an email, and we'll with your address, and we will get this stuff off to you. And we will let you know. We will ask you how many cards you want, and we'll give you several titles because we have 15,000 cards. We printed three different titles. And so we'll get that off to you. All right? All right. Well, without any further ado, let me bring on our dear sister, Sister Marie. Sister Marie, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. And you?
All righty. Now listen, when I said you were in the green room putting on makeup and all that, we don't have a green room. We don't have one. So, you know.
Yes, I was going to ask you about that.
Right. Same. You're right. Don't listen. You're really as a ministry, you're really nothing. You're really nobody if you don't have a green room. So, you know, we have a green room. So that's why we, you know. But no, there's no green room. You don't need to put on makeup for radio. You don't even need to comb your hair.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, you know, that's it. So, well, I'm looking forward to today's show. And, of course, we're talking about culture of confusion. And that's what we do here. We're a missionary broadcast. We're trying to reach people who are heading in the wrong direction. And there's so many different people going down so many different wrong directions that we're just trying to turn them around. That's what we're trying to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So set
this
up for us.
Hopefully my voice holds out for this. I had a few minutes yesterday and I was pulling some weeds out of the garden. And in and I realized that it might have bothered me because last night I lost my voice for a while. And I think I think it's being around, you know, allergies or something. Could have been.
Sure.
So bad time to do it, but we're all right.
I just
keep talking. Just keep talking if I lose my voice. But go ahead.
Sure. Listen, if you don't hear Sister Marie for a while, she's in the green room getting a touch-up. We got the makeup guy giving her a touch-up, okay, if you don't hear her for a while.
Yeah.
Listen, I couldn't do anything. I couldn't do anything Friday, Saturday, Sunday, or yesterday, Monday, because it was raining here, cats and dogs, for 4 days.
Oh, that's terrible.
We had some, and it was raining and very cold. Raining and cold. So,
wow.
Yeah,
we had that a couple days.
It was awful. No barbecue, no nothing. You know, it was just,
there's your excuse.
Counting. Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
April showers in May brings no barbecue. I can't help it, you know. The Lord rained us out. It's a rain out. Sorry. Can't do anything about that. I can't get a pneumonia barbecuing in the rain. I can't do that. And the barbecue is made out of metal. So if there's a lightning storm, you know, I'll be the barbecue.
I've heard it.
The barbecue.
I knew
exactly.
It.
Yeah. So
you walked outside in the morning and just said, the weekend's done. I can't do anything.
And plus, I didn't get my COVID shot. I can't get my COVID shot, so I can't barbecue.
Oh, boy.
No COVID.
Yeah,
there's not much I can do because I haven't taken the shot yet. So, you know, it is what it is.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have green rooms, but we have dog houses.
That's it. The ladies have green rooms. The guys have dog houses. That's what we
dog houses. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, today and for the next couple of weeks, we're going to expose another part of cultural Marxism, and that's critical race theory, or CRT for short. Now, in a church setting, it's been brought in through woke Christianity or the social justice gospel. All aspects of woke Christianity so far is designed to get the church to accept Marxism, and we can prove that. Now, division between the different ethnic groups is part of the plan. They divide to conquer. And it's not only about, you know, I studied this in my spare time. I had very little, but I listened all weekend, and I have a good understanding of this now, and I realize that this has nothing to do with ethnicity, but everything to do with division at the end of the day, dividing people. This is what it's about. And here's the thing. At the end of the day, the Antichrist gets all the ethnic groups together in unity for his rebellion against the Lord and his people. So God's plan is always unity among the believers, but Satan always has a counterfeit. So the idea of exposing this is to make sure you're on the right side, I think.
Right.
You know, we need to always consider that. So if we look at it, if Satan can't bring the church back into the world, he brings the world into the church through Marxism.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a part of it. And if you listen to Antonio, which we will, Gramsci, you realize this is all a part of the plan. So so simply, everything we know to be morally right and wrong must be flipped. Well, the wrong, they'll stay on that side, but morally right, it's flipped upside down. And then we start this downward spiral, you know, in society. So it's the undoing of righteousness and moral values, if you will.
Right.
So in the world, we see this divide to conquer techniques being used right now. They're using it, you know, as we speak. So go ahead, and then I'll continue on. Do you have a comment at all?
No. I'm just listening to your introduction here.
Okay. Our brothers in this podcast contend, and this is serious, that CRT, and that's what we'll refer to it as, that's critical race theory, but in the church has an unbiblical view of man, of sin, and eschatology. So they also contend it has a false gospel, removes God as king, removes his word as sufficient, and removes the gospel as the power of God unto salvation. If true, that's a serious deception because that involves major tenets of the faith. You agree? I mean, you know.
Absolutely. Sure.
Yeah, these are all major tenets of the faith. So eventually, it's an extremely long tape, so eventually they get. So
right.
Our scripture text today was Isaiah 5:20, but I added 18 in there because this woe is for all people of all ages. And we need to focus in on verse 20. Now, the reader here, he quotes the scripture 18, 19, and 20, and then we hear Matthew Henry's commentary. And remember, we're looking at verse 20, and let me read it here. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what they're doing. That is exactly what they're doing. So they're flipping everything. So if you want to, you know, before we continue here, do you want to put on Matthew Henry's commentary on Isaiah 5:18 through 20?
Okay.
If you want to stop it, it's 7 minutes. So if you want to stop it, say something, and then we'll move on.
Okay, here it is.
Okay.
From Matthew Henry's commentary on Isaiah chapter.
Is that too loud?
No, that's good.
Okay.
From Matthew Henry's commentary on Isaiah chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come, that we may know it. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Here are, 1, sins described which will bring judgments upon the people. And this perhaps is not only a charge drawn up against the men of Judah who lived at that time and the particular articles of that charge, though it may relate primarily to them, but is rather intended for warning to all people in all ages to take heed of these sins as destructive both to particular persons and to communities, and exposing men to God's wrath and his righteous judgments. Those are here said to be in a woeful condition. 1. Who are eagerly set upon sin and violent in their sinful pursuits, verse 18. Who draw iniquity with cords of vanity, who take as much pains to sin as the cattle do that draw a team, who put themselves to the stretch for the gratifying of their inordinate appetites, and to humor a base lust, or for violence to nature itself. They think themselves as sure of compassing their wicked project as if they were pulling it towards them with strong cart ropes, but they will find themselves disappointed, for they will prove cause of vanity, which will break when they come to any stress. For the righteous Lord will cut in sunder the cords of the wicked, Psalm 129:4, Job 4:8, Proverbs 22:8. They are by long custom and confirmed habits so hardened in sin that they cannot get clear of it. Those that sin through infirmity are drawn away by sin. Those that sin presumptuously draw iniquity to them, in spite of the oppositions of providence and the checks of conscience. Some by sin understand the punishment of sin. They pull God's judgments upon their own heads, as it were, with cart ropes. 2. Who set the justice of God at defiance and challenge the Almighty to do his worst, verse 19. They say, let him make speed and hasten his work. This is the same language with that of the scoffers of the last days, who say, where is the promise of his coming? And therefore it is that, like them, they draw iniquity with cords of vanity, are violent and daring in sin, and walk after their own lusts. 1. They ridicule the prophets and banter them. It is in scorn that they call God the Holy One of Israel, because the prophets used with great veneration to call him so. 2. They will not believe the revelation of God's wrath from heaven against their ungodliness and unrighteousness. Unless they see it executed, they will not know it, as if the curse were a mere flesh, and all the threatenings of the word bugbears to frighten fools and children. 3. If God should appear against them, as he was threatened, yet they think themselves able to make their part good with him and provoke him to jealousy, as if they were stronger than he. 1 Colossians 10:22. We have heard his word, but it is all talk. Let him hasten his work. We shall shift for ourselves well enough. Note, those that willfully persist in sin consider not the power of God's anger. 3. Who confound and overthrow the distinctions between moral good and evil, who call evil good and moral evil, verse 20, who not only live in the omission of that which is good, but condemn it, argue against it, and because they will not practice it themselves, run it down in others, and fasten invidious epithets upon it, not only do that which is evil, but justify it, and applaud it, and recommend it to others as safe and good. Note, 1. Virtue and piety are good, for they are light and sweet. They are pleasant and right, but sin and wickedness are evil. They are darkness, all the fruit of ignorance and mistake, will be bitterness in the latter end. 2. Those do a great deal of wrong to God and religion and conscience, to their own souls and to the souls of others, who misrepresent these and put false colors upon them, who call drunkenness good fellowship, and covetousness good husbandry. And when they persecute the people of God, think they do him good service. And, on the other hand, who call seriousness ill nature, and sober singularity ill breeding, who say all manner of evil falsely concerning the ways of godliness, and do what they can to form in men's minds prejudices against them, and this in defiance of evidence as plain and convincing as that of sense, by which we distinguish, beyond contradiction, between light and darkness, and between that to which the taste is sweet and that which is bitter.
That's the great Matthew Henry, the great Matthew Henry.
Yes.
Yep.
I enjoy him. I really do. And the thing is, we have to be careful. You know, we know who these people are that are promoting this. We know what they are, and we have to be careful not to be involved in it. Okay?
Right.
So we can't, you know, get involved in it. So today's audio is by Brother Daryl Harrison and Just Thinking Ministries, and it's titled Critical Race Theory. Now, Brother Harrison is joined by his sidekick, Virgil Omaha Walker. Now, Virgil is a pastor himself. So the podcast description reads, Critical Race or CRT for short, is for many professing evangelicals today a philosophy that is steeped in confusion and ambiguity. That is, by design. And trust me, this is all by design. In this expanded episode of the Just Thinking podcast, Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker spend more than 3 hours unpacking the origin, tenets, and threats that critical race theory poses, not only to the evangelical church, but to society as a whole. So this was uploaded on February 24th, 2021. For me personally, I feel we need to learn this from a very sound teacher, and that is Daryl. That describes him.
Right.
He's sound. And he's also studied cultural Marxism for a long time. And he understands what the end game of this is, and that's so important. And personally, I enjoy the relaxed atmosphere of this podcast. I do. It's
right.
Sprinkled with humor, you know, like he plays the organ every
sure.
time Virgil starts preaching.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
But he really... He takes his time. He's not one that's quick to make a point. And he really takes his time. Thus, that's why 3 hours, you know, this audio. Now, we're starting this at 16:50 because for 16 minutes, they were talking about other things, you
okay.
know. So leading up, you know, there's a lot going on and their ministry
sure.
is growing. And they are, I think Masters University is offering a Just Thinking scholarship.
Okay.
You know, for, you know, his ministry. So he announces all that. But if we go up to 16:50, we'll start to get into the podcast itself about critical race theory.
Okay.
So I want you to feel free to stop it, my brother, at any time.
All right. We're getting close to 16:50. Right,
okay.
Here we go. Here we go.
Paul, by God's grace and mercy, we're here today to look into the Word of God, to see what the Scriptures have to say about a topic that many of our listeners want to know more about. And mm-hmm. the topic to which I'm referring is what is known as critical race theory, or CRT for short. Now, critical race theory is a subject that has been on the minds of many professing Christians for quite some time now, and for various reasons, right, not the least of which is that CRT, in one form or another, has begun to rear its ugly head in the churches that they attend, in the schools in which their children are enrolled, and in the workplaces of believers who are being required by their employers to undergo CRT-influenced, quote, cultural diversity training, unquote, or else risk losing their jobs. I mean, Coca-Cola, did you see what Coca-Cola is doing? Have you seen that? Coca-Cola, it's been a video of this, has been shared on social media where Coca-Cola is, I think they're leveraging the book White Fragility by Robin DiAngelo to encourage their employees to be less white.
Oh my God.
To be less white. The Coca-Cola company. This is all over social media. So that's an example of where we have believers who are employed by certain companies, like Coca-Cola, and they're being mandated. They're being required to undergo cultural diversity training or risk losing their jobs. Now, I'm sure many of our listeners will recall, Omaha, that you and I have mentioned the term critical race theory on various episodes of the Just Thinking podcast. However, until now, until this episode, we hadn't really dedicated an entire episode to the subject. In fact, over the past several weeks, as you know, several of our listeners have reached out to us requesting that we address this topic. But before we begin to dive into this vast topic of critical race theory, is there anything you'd like to add to what I've said to this point, Omar?
Yeah, briefly, man, I'll just say, just by way of intro, critical race theory is everywhere, and it currently permeates every aspect of culture. I mean, you mentioned the Coca-Cola company and what they're doing. Sadly, a subject, better yet a theory, that was once reserved for academia has forced its way into popular culture. Everywhere we look, from small companies to large corporations, from science to sports, from education to entertainment, we're witnessing the breakneck pace of culturally accepted racism, currently spelled
wow.
CRT, right?
Hold on, wait. Ho, ho, ho. Already you bringing that heat. Come on, man. Go ahead, and I need you to replay that redefinition of CRT, bro. That was so
absolutely
nice. You to say it twice, man.
Everywhere we look, from small companies to large corporations, from science to sports, from education to entertainment, we are witnessing the breakneck speed of culturally accepted racism, currently spelled CRT.
Wow.
Again, CRT was once a theoretical idea bantered about by academicians interested in adjudicating specific outcomes. And I know we're going to get to this in greater detail in our episode, but here's what I mean. A case simply goes to court, and as a result, the result isn't in one person's favor. But what do? Well, you sprinkle a bit of critical theory on the matter, and voila, you get your preferred outcome. Now, all of this in the name of 400 years of oppression, the likes of which no one living has actually firsthand knowledge of experiencing. The level of victimology and white guilt necessary to sustain such tomfoolery grows moment by moment. Furthermore, within evangelicalism, many pastors, like Aaron in the Old Testament, have stripped parishioners of their gold, placed it into the fire, and are now worshiping the golden calf of CRT. Now, we've got a lengthy show, man, and so I know we're going to get a lot of stuff in during this show, man, so I can't wait for us to get it in the way we do it.
I'm excited too, bro. I am so excited, man, to go through this topic with you, man. We've been waiting for weeks. We've been prepping for weeks, working hard behind the scenes, researching and getting ready for this episode, man, so I'm excited with you, bro. You know, Omaha, the term critical race theory, as you said, it's ubiquitous. I mean, it seems that everywhere you turn, you encounter either the term itself or some aspect or element of what that term purportedly represents. But what exactly does critical race theory represent?
Right.
That's the question that seemingly is on the minds of many professing evangelicals today. What does critical race theory represent? Now, as I mentioned earlier, Omaha, the topic of critical race theory is vast and far-reaching, not to mention multifaceted and oftentimes very complex. But as familiar as some, perhaps many, of our listeners may be with the term critical race theory, they may be less familiar with what CRT actually entails and encompasses as a philosophy or as an ideology. And though one of our primary objectives for this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast is to familiarize our listeners with what critical race theory is, I believe the fundamental reason why you and I are motivated to broach this topic today is reflected in the following words from the late Dr. James Montgomery Boyce. Dr. Boyce, in a message titled Justification by Faith Alone, provided this rather sobering assessment of the state of the evangelical church. Dr. James Montgomery Boyce said this, quote, "The evangelical church is in bad trouble today, and part of the problem is that we don't even know it. We've abandoned our theology, we're substituting other things for the word of God, and we don't even know it's what we're doing. The evangelical church has lost its soul, and it has lost its soul because it has lost its theology," unquote. That was Dr. James Montgomery Boyce from a message titled Justification by Faith. Dr. Boyce said the evangelical church has lost its soul, and it has lost its soul because it has lost its theology. Now, along those same lines of thought as Dr. James Boyce, the late Dr. R.C. Sproul, in a blog article he wrote for Ligonier Ministries titled The Perils Facing the Evangelical Church, said this, quote, "Among what I see as the three most critical perils the church faces today are, first of all, the loss of biblical truth. When the truth of the gospel is compromised or negotiated, the church ceases to be evangelical. We live in a time of crisis with respect to truth, where many churches see doctrine merely as something that divides. Therefore, they stress relationships over truth. That is a false distinction, as a commitment to truth is a commitment that should manifest itself in vital living relationships. Relationships can never be a substitute for embracing the truth of God. So the either-or fallacy of doctrine or relationship cannot be maintained under careful biblical scrutiny."
Would you like to comment up to that point? Anything you have to say?
Yeah, I can make a comment on that. You know, one of the things we notice here is that they flip things around. And for the church, that includes tearing away at exegetical teaching. Thus, we understand the problem you have, because you're trying to teach sound doctrine while working to deprogram people who for years have been led in the wrong direction.
Right.
You know, that's an example of that. So
right.
You should be able to speak on this, trying to, you know, everything's flipped. And they're trading that theology, you know, to where, you know, it's become secondary. You know, it's a secondary thing. You know?
Yep.
So what
yep.
do you have to say about that? I mean, I just see what you're going through. When I was listening to that, I thought, wow, that's exactly what Bro is working on with
yeah.
your classes.
Yeah, you're trying
to bring it back.
Right. See, in the classes, one of the things that we're trying to do at the Bible Institute is get people's relationship back to Jesus. Because
yeah.
think of this. Their relationship is very tight with their bishop, right?
Mm-hmm.
Their relationship
yes.
with the bishop is a tight one, tight-knit. They're close. Mm-hmm. They're loving on the bishop. But that happened because you allowed truth to be substituted. The moment,
correct.
the moment you hold on to truth, you have to say goodbye to your apostate bishop. Because
that's right.
the only way you can have a relationship with Christ, which is the most important relationship you can have, is based on truth.
Mm-hmm.
When you embrace the bishop's false truth, then your relationship
right.
with Christ is severed.
Exactly.
It's the same thing where God said, you can't, listen, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, you can't serve God and mammon. God is truth.
Right.
Mammon is full of, error. So that if you embrace error, you're gonna be in good with mammon. But if you embrace truth, you're gonna be in good with God. You cannot have it both ways. You just can't.
Exactly.
So
well,
every
the
class,
true church is governed by it's not governed by philosophy or ideology, but
no,
only by the word of God.
Right. See. Look. If I was pastoring today. And I happened to be Pentecostal in my church conversion experience. I was born again in a Pentecostal church, discipled in a Pentecostal church, trained as a minister in a Pentecostal. You know, when I mean trained, I mean trained within a church setting, within a Pentecostal church. Now, having said that, I'm very reformed in my theology, very biblical in my theology. So,
yeah.
They may say, oh, he's a Pentecostal pastor, but if you come into the church with crazy costal or retard costal notions, it's not going to be a place where you're going to be happy because we don't have that stuff in the church that I would pastor. We're not going to let you stand up and start proper lying. That's not going to happen. You'll be escorted out the door. So when you embrace truth, remember, there's going to come a separation. You're going to have to separate yourself from the crazies, and you're going to have to separate yourself from the retarded. That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Well, it is true. If the church loses its theology, it loses its soul, because you can't sit under error, believe error, and think everything is okay with your soul. You know? We're told in the Word of God that we need to examine ourselves to make sure that we're in the faith. And you notice there's only one faith. There's one gospel.
Right.
So this is why, you know, it's so important to take down the error and replace it with truth. Because when you lose the church, or when you lose the truth, the church ceases to be the church.
Right.
You know, that's not a part of the church.
Listen, ecumenism, those who promote the ecumenical movement say, put your doctrine on the back burner and and make relationships number one. And we say, those of us who are against the ecumenical movement say, no, you keep truth number one.
Yes.
And if people embrace truth, then we can have relationship.
Exactly.
But if we're not sitting around the truth of God's word, then bye-bye. You go worship in your little building where
setting.
You want to, and just leave us alone. Because we're not compromising truth for the sake of relationship.
That's
we're
it.
We're not doing
That's
that.
That's it. If you choose a relationship, you know, you can't choose a relationship over the truth. I mean, if you haven't lost someone over truth, you might examine yourself, you know, because everyone has. Everyone has who's a believer. You've lost something or someone over the truth of the Word of God. It's, you know, biblically, the truth always separates you.
Right.
You know, I can tell you it's happened to me. And, but yeah, pick truth, you know, if you want a heads up, pick the truth, pick the Lord.
That's it.
Honestly,
That's it. You have to.
That's the
you
choice.
Have to, yeah, you have to. It's like Noah, right? Noah was called of God. Noah was was a preacher of righteousness. He was preaching truth. And that's why he couldn't get anybody in the ark. Because the people who are listening to Noah wanted error. Chose error, and that's it. So there's a divide.
Yep.
There is a divide.
Yeah, there is. I mean, just understand that the Lord separates light from darkness, the sheep from the goats, the wheat from the tares. Already tells you that he separates the church from error all the time.
Right.
You know, the division there's no division. The division that, you know, any division between the believers is not of the Lord. But what this woke Christianity does, it divides to conquer. And we see a lot of confusion because people are saying, well, we're you know, we're not supposed to separate. Yes, you are from error when you're in truth. You know, that's the problem that we're seeing. People
that's
are
it.
Thinking, well, no, but the Lord always, you know, he always separated from error.
Always.
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 Yes.
That's what happened.
So,
you, that's it. That's it. You just and this is the thing. You know, when John the Baptist appeared, he said to the people, "You have to make a choice." And he put it this way: repent. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you repent, you have to give up error. When you repent,
that's right.
You have to embrace truth. So,
right.
Repent. Why should we repent? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The same thing
correct.
Jesus began to preach. Repent for the... So when you repent, you're saying, okay, I got to give up this tomfoolery. I have to stop acting like a spiritual jackass. I have
mm-hmm.
to stop calling good evil and evil good. I have to stop doing
yep.
that. That's what
yep.
I have to stop doing. And so it causes a separation. It produces two kinds of people, people who are going to listen to God and people who don't listen to God. And
correct.
Truth will do that. Truth
yes.
will do that. And that's why
and
we don't
you
get
know,
discouraged. You know, we just keep doing what
no.
we're doing. And but the challenge
yep.
is repent. Turn
yes.
away from your sins. Give up.
Right.
Give up the life of a fool and serve the Lord.
Yeah.
That's it. That's, you know.
Yeah. Well, when you're repenting, you're actually turning in a different direction. So to repent means to turn. You're, you know, to turn. And you can't say, okay, I repent and then do it again because you haven't turned in that direction. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You can't keep going in error after you've repented. You have to make a decision. And it will cause you to lose people, friends, you know, family, whatever. But you choose the Lord over that. You must do that. You know,
mm-hmm.
these people, what happens is they first they infiltrate, they smite the shepherds and they scatter the flock. But then they reassemble. This is in a church setting, these Marxists. They reassemble with worldly minded souls. So the true church, we know, will not listen to strangers because they know the Lord's voice. They get out.
Right.
So, you know, so they're that's why they're taking down, you know, churches. I mean, we look at Andy Stanley, unhinged
mm-hmm.
from the Bible. Well, what's that telling you? What is he?
Right.
What is he? He's infiltrated, you know, or grown a church with worldly-minded people. You know, and
yep.
he's taking down doctrine, taking down everything. That's what they do. They, you know, take down churches. They leaven churches, you know.
Yep.
So,
yep.
you know,
and
their golden
and
calf is Marxism.
yeah. Yeah.
You know?
I mean, think of all the people. Think of all the people worldwide. That we're constantly appealing to, telling them to get out of these apostate churches. Why? Because the apostate church is following error. You have the blind leading the blind.
Correct.
And God would have us, you know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Now,
mm-hmm.
if you're following error, you're not following Jesus because he's the truth.
Correct.
So that's
it's that
it.
Simple,
we,
isn't it?
Very, very simple. Very,
yeah.
very simple. Very simple. All right. Here's more from
yeah.
these wonderful these wonderful brothers.
Quote. That was the late Dr. R.C. Sproul in a blog article titled "The Perils Facing the Evangelical Church." Now, critical race theory is one of those things, as Dr. James Montgomery Boyce put it, that the evangelical church is, quote, substituting for the word of God, unquote, so that, as Dr. R.C. Sproul said, quote, the gospel is now being compromised and negotiated, unquote. That, my listening friends, is ultimately the reason why we're doing this episode of the Just Thinking Podcast on critical race theory, because CRT compromises the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, you know, Omaha, it was the beloved Welsh preacher and theologian, Dr. D. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who in a sermon titled Obedience to the Truth said this, quote, "It is the business of the gospel to call men to obey the truth," unquote.
Amen. Amen.
It is the business of the gospel to call men to obey the truth.
That's it. That's what we do. That's
yes.
You know, listen, every class I've done at the Bible school thus far is about, listen, you got to make a choice. Your pastor has been feeding you junk all these years. You
yeah.
have now have to make a choice to obey the truth. And let me tell you, they're
That's
dropping
right.
like flies. Every week they drop. I call myself the broken record professor because I come on and it's the same song and dance. You know, our turn to the truth. I sound like
yes.
a broken record every week. Turn to the truth.
But that's
but,
your
you know,
job.
Right.
That's your
but no matter,
that's, you have to do that according
right,
to the word.
Right. But listen, yep. but with every argument that I make and with all the proof that I give them, they keep following error. Because it's a
mm-hmm.
choice. But
yes.
but I'm not changing the message. I'm still gonna be a broken record.
Yep.
I'm still gonna be harping on the same things.
Yep.
Because that's what we're supposed to do if things don't change, if people don't change. You just got to keep harping on the same thing you were harping on before.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right. That's it. I mean, it's that simple, and you, it's a part of what, as a teacher, what you're called to do. It's a part that we're all called to do that. We're all called to, you know, when we see error, or hear it, to call it out, and then to leave it. That, you know, I mean, you have to leave it behind, and a relationship cannot get in the way of that.
Right.
You know.
Right. Right.
It can't. So.
You cannot. Jesus said, if you love mother and father more than me.
Yes, I thought of that.
Forget about your bishop. Listen, if mama's
yep.
wrong and daddy's wrong, and you're choosing daddy and mommy over Jesus, you're in trouble.
Yes.
You're
so
in
if you're
trouble.
Choosing your bishop, you're in big trouble.
In bigger trouble.
It gets down to mom and yes.
In bigger trouble.
Well, you know, absolutely. And another thing here, I was just looking at 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, examine yourselves, whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves, knowing not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be retrobate. So a retrobate is someone who's unapproved or a counterfeit. Testing yourself means that you're moving in the right direction with Jesus. And that's the same Jesus that you talk about. You have to be moving in that direction. You can't say, no, wait a minute, when it comes to truth, you know. No, we need to examine ourselves all the time to make sure, is this of the Lord? If it isn't,
right.
we need to get out. Because,
right.
listen, if you're not, you're reprobate. I mean, come on. You know, yeah, it's that simple. It's that simple.
Yep.
And if you haven't moved yet, consider that. You know, if you haven't moved away from it yet, because you're not going to, I can tell you, you're not going to change church. If you
right,
have a whole
right.
church teaching error, you can stay there. Many people have tried that, and they end up getting kicked out of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So it never works. You're not going
right.
to change the pastor. You're not going to do that. You have to leave. You have to be the one that leaves.
Yep, absolutely. You got to put on your PF flyers and run out of there. Is what
yes.
you got to do. That's
yep.
it.
Absolutely.
That's it.
Yep.
All right.
Firstly, Pastor John MacArthur, in his book titled Ashamed of the Gospel, subtitled When the Church Becomes Like the World, said this, quote, "Preaching the word must be the very heart of our ministry philosophy. Any other philosophy replaces the voice of God with human wisdom. The preacher's task is not to be a conduit for human wisdom. He is God's voice to speak to the congregation. No human message comes with the stamp of divine authority. Did you hear that, listeners? No human message comes with the stamp of divine authority. Only the Word of God does. I frankly do not understand preachers who are willing to advocate this solemn privilege. Moral lectures and motivational talks are no substitute for God's Word. Why should we proclaim the wisdom of men when we have the privilege of preaching the Word of God?
Unquote. Come on, man. Come on.
John MacArthur said that in his book, Ashamed of the Gospel, When the Church Becomes Like the World. Now, my purpose in quoting both D. Martin Lloyd-Jones and John MacArthur is that the evangelical church, especially in America, is quickly losing sight of the business that God has called it to be engaged in. Critical race theory is only the latest man-centered philosophy to come against the church that the church is allowing itself to be sucked in by. Same with the so-called social gospel in the earlier 20th century and still today in the 21st century. But being sucked in is precisely what happens when you lose sight of what fundamentally is, quote, the business of the gospel, unquote, as Lloyd-Jones said, as you suddenly find yourself drifting off into the business of trying to be everything to everybody. Now, a rather troubling case in point of that, okay, an example of that, is in a white paper that was originally published in 2014 in the Master Seminary Journal titled Regaining Our Focus, subtitled A Response to the Social Action Trend in Evangelical Missions. Okay? Regaining Our Focus, A Response to the Social Action Trend in Evangelical Missions. In that paper, Dr. Joel James and Dr. Brian Biederbach state the following, quote, it appears that many Christians in the social justice movement have avidly adopted the piety of postmodernism. The result is that, in a subtle way, the world begins to set the agenda for the church. For example, we recently read a church planting plan for a major African city in which the author, a thoroughgoing evangelical, laid out his primary goals. At the same level of importance as preaching and evangelism, the following were included: to help the city change for the better socially, to increase the overall level of civility among its citizens, to encourage better race relations in the city, and to actively advantage the disadvantaged. Mm-hmm. The author of that church planning plan made it clear that if the constituency of the church did not come from racially and economically diverse backgrounds, he would consider the church plant a failure. While all those things are good to one degree or another, we would contend that on the whole, they are not New Testament identified goals for a church. In fact, they appear primarily to be a rehashing of the agendas of politically correct postmodern culture, And when the world sets the agenda, listen to this, it is no surprise that the gospel, expository preaching, and serious theological training sometimes slip into second place, unquote. That was Dr. Joel James and Dr. Brian Biederbach from a white paper published back in 2014 titled Regaining Our Focus, A Response to the Social Action Trend and Evangelical Missions. Now, those comments from Dr. Joel James and Dr. Brian Biederbach bring to my mind these words from the 19th century English theologian J.C. Ryle, who in his excellent book titled Practical Religion said simply yet profoundly, J.C. Ryle said this, quote, the things of the soul come first and the things of the world come second, unquote. That was J.C. Ryle from his book Practical Religion, which if you have...
Listen, that's why J.C. Riles is the man.
Yes, exactly.
He's the man.
Actually, he said something interesting there. He was talking about the church planners and their goals. Bro,
right.
When he said that, I thought you're talking about vision, the church's vision, which you've been
right.
doing a show. You know, that
right.
is all that is. when
right.
he's got a vision, that's the church's goal. I mean, he just answered that whole series. That's a vision, the pastor's vision. And he,
right.
you know, and what happens is that when the world sets the agenda for the church, the gospel then becomes secondary.
And suffers.
So,
the gospel suffers.
Yes.
And we try, it's like Paula White raising all that money to go into public schools to paint the teachers' lounges. Oh, we have to fix
exactly.
the teachers' lounge. Who said you have to fix the teachers' lounge? Who said that?
Right.
That's not the gospel.
Yeah.
But yet, that
no.
got her a big plaque, and she was invited to Orlando's 50 most important people, and she was one of them. All that money and all that painting and all
yep.
that remodeling of teachers' lounges got her a plaque as one of Orlando's 50th most influential people. Whoop-dee-doo. Whoop-dee-doo.
Yeah. Yep.
See?
Well, it just shows it's not about the gospel at all.
No,
that.
It's
that
not.
Is not.
It's not.
Because the gospel, they're what they're doing, flipping it. So maybe this is true Flip Wilson theology, you know, because what they're doing is they're making the gospel secondary, you know, and, you know, and the things of the life first, you know,
right.
so they flipped it around. Things in life are first, but the gospel is secondary. No. And that's if they preach the gospel at all.
Correct. Correct.
You know.
Correct.
So, yeah.
Correct.
Wow, when I heard him say that, I'm sitting here thinking, wait a minute, what he's talking about is the pastor's vision. Because he
right.
said, well, if we don't have diversity or, you know, then it's an unsuccessful church plant. Unsuccessful there. And who said you need to plant churches? You need to
right.
preach the gospel.
You need to preach the gospel. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
Again,
no.
God's vision is saving souls. Their vision
yep.
is racial reconciliation.
Yep.
That's it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing. These dopey preachers are fighting for racial reconciliation, and then Reverend R. Sharpton comes behind them and says, oh, the white man has been keeping us down. We have to fight the
yeah.
white man. So
yeah.
here you
yeah.
are trying to fix the breach, and Reverend Sharpton comes behind you, and he starts the division all over again. This is why you never.
Yeah.
This is why nothing ever gets out. Because
right.
there are people who get rich off of white versus black. They get rich off that
mm-hmm.
stuff.
Yeah. See? And it's, you know, they make it, you know, the main state of affairs, as you hear. But one of the problems, and I think with Marxism, what I found this weekend, is who do they fear? They fear white men with guns. That's the majority of the population of the United States, you see. And so they, you know, why do they, you know, try to stop the church? Because they want to stop people gathering together talking, God's people, because that's all ethnic groups together. You know, they're afraid of unity. So the thing that they say that they're promoting, they're really afraid of. They're opening the borders to let more minorities in every year. Why? To fight against the white man with guns. So who?
Right.
That's their biggest fear. So what is it? What is it? You know, their biggest
yeah.
fear should be God, but they don't believe in God. Therefore, they fear unity in numbers. And that's why they got to take the church down. That's why they got to divide. It's to buy. They're dividing to conquer. That
right.
was the message
right.
that I could see all the way through Marxism. It's dividing to conquer, and that's
right.
what they're doing. They're not, they're pitting people against one another, and that would also fit, if you think about it, prophetically in the book of Revelation, sex, the red horse. People
mm-hmm.
kill each other. It takes away peace, and that's what they're trying to do.
Sure, sure, sure. Look, we're seeing it even with the vaccine. If you
yes.
got the vaccine, you're hip. You're
yeah.
a cool person if you got the vaccine.
Yeah.
You're a hipster. right? You're on the cutting edge. If you didn't get the vaccine, oh, my, how horrible you are. You're a wicked person.
Yes.
You can't come to our events because it's only for those who got the vaccine. Well, then good luck.
Right.
I mean, I was going to go to see a Met game. I wanted to go see the, but now it's only vaccine section only. Well, then I'll keep watching it on TV for free.
That's
so
right.
You're not getting my dollars. You see?
Right.
And the vaccine people are cool, and the non-vaccine people are stupid. Okay.
Right.
You know, and even in that little thing, they're separating you.
Yes. This is the major point, and I think you've got it exactly. That is the major point. It's not about ethnic groups with them. It's about separation, dividing people to conquer.
Right.
This
sure.
is what it's about. And you're seeing that, like you said, with vaccine, and that's interesting because this morning I saw an audio out of England, which I keep an eye on over there, and they're telling people the news – I'm not sure if it's the breakfast, the morning breakfast club or whatever, but they're pushing this idea that people probably need to separate from their family and friends and block them if they are not vaccinated.
There
so
you
what
go.
You said was interesting. They said, do you really want to, do you think you probably should, you know, do you think it's a good idea that you need to block the unvaccinated people? So what does that tell you at the end of the day about the vaccination? It's so important to them.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Sure.
To create division.
Sure.
It's a
sure.
part of it.
Listen.
And
someone came, knocked on my door the other day, hey, we want to invite you. There's going to be an ordination. We want you to come. I said, no, I can't. Why not? I'm not vaccinated.
You can use them.
I uninvited myself. I didn't have to go to this crazy castle ordination because I'm not vaccinated. You wouldn't want me there. You wouldn't want me there. Bye. Thank you. I uninvited myself. See? And that's my trump card. That's my trump card.
Yeah.
No, I'm not vaccinated.
Yep.
In other words, I'm telling them, leave me alone. Leave me alone.
Yeah. But what is the importance of that? It's separation because, see, they can use that and say, okay, you need to separate. I'm not sure how that's going to work. What in your own home? They said even families. They're dividing families. That's a part of it.
Of course.
That's the major target. So they're saying, so I'm thinking, okay, you have a husband who, let's say a husband who's unvaccinated and a wife who's vaccinated. This is the scenario. What is the vaccinated wife going to tell her husband? You need to move, you know, because so in reality, if you look at it that way, or your mother, you know, you're taking, let's say some kids are taking care of a parent in their home and they're going to say, okay, Ma, you got to get out because you didn't get your vaccination. Or if Mom got it, she throws the kids out on the street.
Sure.
Do you see what they're doing? It's all about dividing. It has nothing to do with race. It's division.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's division.
It's like
oh, my gosh.
Now, they want to see now if you got the vaccine, if you want to fly. Well, another excuse why I don't have to fly now. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. You guys are making it so easy for me not to go anywhere, to be left alone. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Saying to my father-in-law, no, can't do it. Not vaccinated. Can't fly
to see you.
Sorry.
That's it.
And I'm saying that because my father-in-law's beyond difficult. So, we love him, but he's difficult. So, okay.
Okay, here's more.
I've not read it. I highly commend it to you.
Yeah.
Ralph said the things of the soul come first and the things of the world come second. And you know, Omaha, as I reflect on those words from J.C. Ryle, as well as on the comments from Drs. James and Biederbach, I cannot help but be convicted and convinced that the evangelical church in America today, in its pragmatic and misplaced zeal to embrace the paganistic philosophy that is critical race theory, has completely inverted that order of which J.C. Ryle spoke and made the things of the world primary and
yes.
the things of the soul secondary.
Yes, 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 absolutely.
Also,
man, first of all, man, the whole your whole presentation was tight. I'm going to encourage our listeners to take copious notes. This particular episode is jam-packed full with references and citations and quotes. And we often get asked, and this is not even in my notes.
Do your thing, Omaha. It's our show.
Yeah, early in this episode, I just want to encourage you, if you've listened to Just Thinking, you know how this goes down. I'm going to encourage you to grab your pen, grab some paper. You're going to need to make a lot of notes. You're going to need to make references to some of these books. You and I, Daryl, get asked all the time, hey, what books should I be reading? Or how can I locate this information or that information? I keep telling people they've got to go back to our episodes. They got to go back to the episode.
It's all there. It's all there.
All the work is there. So you definitely need to go back. And this is definitely one of those particular episodes. However, let me get to my notes. When you hear the words of men like Boyce and Sproul and Lloyd-Jones and MacArthur and Ryle, you begin to understand what the writer of Ecclesiastes meant when he said, "What has been will be, and what has been done is what will be done. There is nothing new under the sun." That's Ecclesiastes 1:9. None of what we see with CRT is new. How often, Daryl, have we made the argument that CRT promotes an unbiblical anthropology or view of man, an unbiblical harmartiology or view of sin, an unbiblical soteriology or view of salvation, and an unbiblical eschatology or view of end times? If we said that once, brother, we said that a dozen times.
Yep.
So that people can be clear. So let me be clear in the statement that I'm about to make. Let me clear my throat. CRT is a new religion preaching a false gospel, and its adherents seek to remove God as king. They desire to remove his word as sufficient, and they desire to remove his gospel as the power of God unto salvation.
Man, hold it. Cue the Hammond on that one, because I'm going to have to rewind that, bro. Bro, that was so nice. You're going to have to say it twice, man.
I know we're going to do that. This is how we get down. I want to be clear about where we stand on this issue. I want to be clear about what Scripture says about this issue. We're always bringing Scripture and the Word of God into conflict with culture, and this episode is no different. But let me be clear. CRT is a new religion, and it is preaching a false gospel. Its adherents seek to remove God as king, to remove his word as sufficient,
come on, man,
and to remove his gospel as the power of God unto salvation. I don't care what anyone tells you. That is absolutely the intention of those who are advocating for CRT. The Apostle Paul would write the following to believers in Rome. He'd say this, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, so that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to foolish." And what I'm quoting from here is Romans chapter 1, right, verses 12 and following. He says, "I'm eager to preach to you the gospel those of you who are also in Rome." Verse 16 says this, "For I am unashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now when Paul spoke of his desire to preach the gospel, intersectionality was not in view. Paul was not looking for the most economically oppressed among us, as Tim Keller suggested on Twitter 2 days ago.
Man, come on, bro.
Right? The Apostle Paul was under obligation to Greeks and barbarians, two different people groups. And to emphasize the point, Paul would go on to write to wise and to foolish. Now why did he make those distinctions? He did so because he wanted to make clear that regardless of one's station in life, both groups of people are in need of the same thing, which is salvation. As a result, both groups require the message of the gospel to be preached to them. I could go on here, but let me unpack something in reference to the quote that you made, Daryl, earlier when you quoted from Dr. James Montgomery Boyce.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. James Montgomery Boyce, who in his message entitled Justification by Faith Alone, you said it. He said the following in regarding the state of the evangelical church. I'm just going to reread your quote. It was this.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelical church is in bad trouble today, and part of the problem is that we don't even know it. We've abandoned our theology. We're substituting other things for the Word of God, and we don't even know it's what we're doing. The evangelical church has lost its soul, and it has lost its soul because it has lost its theology. This is an incredibly important statement. While many of our listeners may be familiar with Dr. James Montgomery Boyce, others may not be. So for those who are far less familiar with his work, Dr. Boyce was born in 1938. He was a successful inner-city pastor in Philadelphia's historic 10th Presbyterian Church. He was a pastor there from 1968 to 2000, and he was a well-known Bible teacher, author, and speaker. However, he was best known for his work in the area of biblical inerrancy. Mm-hmm. And as Boyce, Sproul, and MacArthur began to witness during their day the liberal drift that was happening in evangelicalism, they witnessed this in the early and mid-70s. They would come together in Chicago in October of 1978. They would pen a significant statement on the issue of biblical inerrancy that would become known as the Chicago Statement on Biblical Inerrancy. Later, recognizing their work was unfinished, in November of 1982, the Chicago Statement on Biblical Hermeneutics would follow. And then finally, in December of 1986, the conference adopted the Chicago Statement on Biblical Application. Now, the leftist liberal agenda is always the same. Here's what they aim to do. They aim to minimize biblical sufficiency by attacking biblical application. Next, they minimize biblical sufficiency by attacking biblical hermeneutics. And finally, they minimize biblical sufficiency by attacking biblical inerrancy or validity. And CRT is simply the latest installment on an attack of the sufficiency of Scripture. Now, men like Boyce and Sproul and MacArthur understood this in their day, and it is critically important that we be clear about it in ours. Now, let me say this finally. When speaking on Scripture's sufficiency, it was Dr. John MacArthur who said this, quote, "Even though the Bible is an ancient document, every person in every situation in every society that has ever existed can find in this book things that endure forever. Here's a book that never needs another edition. It never needs to be edited. It never has to be updated. It's never out of date or obsolete. It speaks to us as pointedly and directly as it ever has to anyone in any century since it was written," end quote. Now, CRT advocates attempt to use Scripture to invalidate scriptural sufficiency. For example, Darrell, I know you remember the Twitter dust-up that I was involved in where Charlie Dates came at me a little bit. You remember that?
Yes, that was quite recent, actually.
That was quite recent. He likened me to a Pharaoh-loving Jew, a slave-loving slave, and finally, Uncle Ruckus. Now, if you're unfamiliar with who Uncle Ruckus is, I wouldn't even encourage you to go look it up. It is absolutely a pejorative. He's intending to call me an Uncle Tom in even worse ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
What drew his outrage, the outrageous comments of Dates was that I stated that CRT Light was false and that Scripture was sufficient. When I did this, everyone from Dwight McKissick to Anthony Bradley jumped to defend Charlie Dates while challenging my understanding of scriptural sufficiency. Why did my comment draw so much attention? Well, it's because those who advocate for CRT, they understand one thing, that the battleground of their attack rises and falls on whether or not we believe the Bible is sufficient.
Man, come on, Verse. Come on, bro.
Advocate Scripture is sufficient, and you too will witness the venom of their attacks. where we currently are on this issue of CRT, that's evidence. What we're seeing with regard to the issue of CRT is absolutely an attack on biblical sufficiency. Bro.
And that's it. That's it. These people they will use the Bible. They'll quote a verse.
Mm-hmm.
They'll go to Proverbs 29:18. They'll say, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." They'll use the text as a springboard, and then they run off into the twilight zone and start talking about vision. I played this audio last week of this young lady, and I just felt so sorry for her. And she said God gave her a vision that where she was in a prom. And this is God gave her a picture of her husband. And I'm saying, this poor thing, this poor girl. It was just pathetic. It was just sad. Sad.
Yeah.
Sad.
Yeah.
But they all do it. They all quote Proverbs 29:18. But then but instead of staying on the scripture and breaking it down, they go crazy. They go off the cliff into another dimension because for them, scripture isn't sufficient. It's not sufficient. Their own kooky ideas is what becomes sufficient.
Yeah.
And then
right.
this poor thing said, I have other videos in my YouTube channel on dreams and visions and how God communicates. Would you like to see them? Go hear them. No, I don't want to see them. I'm painfully listening to this one.
Yeah, you think about it, and that's exactly what they do. They can take a scripture and then, you know, twist it, and they can take it in any direction after that. And that's what we're seeing in the pulpits today. They're taking
right.
a scripture, and they're running amok with the scripture in every area. But CRT, it's a hyper racial sensitivity training. Okay, so what Marxism does is it makes racism the main state of affairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the main problem in society. And they, the Marxists, then feel that they are equipped to deal with the problem. And they are actually the critical race theorists. So
right.
that's what they do. So their main focus as far in the church, it's making a scripture secondary, if they do at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, basically
right.
it's taking it down. But in the world, it's making racism the main state of affairs in society. They make that the focus so that, you know, they can solve the problem, right? So that's how
right.
they infiltrate through that.
Sure.
So that's...
Sure.
That, you know, this ideology, it expands and moves into every aspect of society. So race becomes the key focus on everything you do in life. And that's
mm-hmm.
why CRT is mandatory now in most schools. And
mm-hmm.
it involves everything around us. This is
right.
all Marxism. That's what it is. It's nothing to do with anything but Marxism. I can tell you that.
Yeah. And the moment you start pointing people to the Bible, they get mad. Oh no. No,
yeah.
why are you always talking about the Bible? That's the only authority we have. But they get mad
yeah.
when you point them to the Bible and you start talking about the sufficiency of scripture. They get mad.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, they're laying this out unlike you, you know, like I said, with you, you have this unique ability to be able to just jump right out there and lay out a case, and then you go back and you expand on that and expand on that until, I mean, you know, you close up every end of it. You can't argue with it. They take their time and they're talking about different things, so it seems like they're not getting to the point. It's just, you know, not everybody can do that like you do. You
well, no,
open
I mean,
the gate,
well,
you're off.
Yeah, well,
and
yeah,
you,
well, they, well,
you know
yeah,
exactly.
They're taking, see, this is, see, what I do is a teaching, and what they're doing
mm-hmm.
is a radio conversation. It's two different,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
it's two different
yeah.
Approaches to answering a question.
Yeah.
So I'm by myself.
You can lock
they,
up
you
a
know,
point in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's it. After audio two, it's done. It's toast.
Well, you see, while vision is in the Bible, critical race theory mm-hmm. isn't.
That's right.
So this is why they have to take this academic approach to explaining mm-hmm. it. They have to quote different proponents of it, and you know, it's different. It's a different topic. It's a different venue.
Right.
But these two guys are experts in this. They're experts.
Yeah.
And
well, you know, the focus
on
this will be to remove your identity. You know.
Yeah.
Absolutely, as an individual. So the attack currently that we see is against the white man. But if you remember, just a while ago, it was against manhood.
Right.
And then it was, morality. You know, it attacks everything that we hold dear, everything. So it's just moving in a different direction. This is just another area
mm-hmm.
of woke. What they call Christianity, air quote. You know, this is just an expanded area of it. So, okay.
All right, here's more.
Okay.
That was straight fire, man. I have to say,
Come on, man.
Let me go off script here for a second. What happened to you in that Charlie Date situation and those who piled on, these other black brothers who piled on? See, that's a primary example of the elephant that's in the room that no one wants to talk about. It's just interesting that we're talking about this in our CRT episode, because what happened to you and these other black so-called brothers piling on, that's a prime example of what I call the intra-ethnic racism that nobody wants to talk about.
Right.
Nobody wants to talk about that. This intra-ethnic racism, and I hate that word racism, but I'll use it just for sake of conversation. Intra-ethnic racism, that is black-on-black racism, brown-on-brown racism, is the elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It is a bigotry, it is a prejudice, it is a sinful bias that is primarily ideological. So you dare not, even when it comes down to the advocating for the sufficiency of Scripture, as you did, even when mm-hmm. it comes down to that, if you don't concur with the tribe, if you don't concur with the ethnic collective on that,
mm-hmm.
you
mm-hmm.
too will be ostracized. You too
Absolutely.
Will be labeled a pejorative.
See, and that goes back to, see, race is only the skin
mm-hmm.
issue. But it really, listen, for example, I go into the black church, and I start
mm-hmm.
saying to the black bishop, let the black people go, right?
Yeah.
I'll say to him, okay, you are holding hostage black people. You're
Correct.
A pharaoh. You're black. I'm telling you to let these black people go because you are
mm-hmm.
just as bad as the white plantation owner prior to the Civil
yeah.
War, before the Civil War, right?
Yeah.
You're just as
yeah.
bad. So now what do? They attack me, right? So
yeah.
it's inter-racism, right? Let's say black on black. It's black on black fighting, okay? But
yeah.
really that's a smokescreen because
it is.
Black on black is what you see on the surface. The real real issue is truth versus error. See, they're
Correct.
Running an erroneous system, which I am attacking with the truth of God's word, and that's why they're really attacking me. It's not black attacking black. It's really error attacking truth.
Right.
See?
And you know what's funny?
So,
because Virgil said that in the beginning. He said, if they sprinkle the CRT into it when it's not going well, I'm just visualizing here. You're speaking truth, and they're speaking error. You attack the error, which you can prove with the Word of God.
Right.
So they sprinkle, they're sprinkling CRT in it.
Correct.
You see?
But then they attack. See, they want you to think they're going to attack the white man. No, they'll attack anyone who attacks their error.
Exactly.
Whether you're white or black or brown or whatever. Because, you see, I'm bringing the bishop, I'm bringing the bishop's empire down with the word of God.
Yes.
So they'll attack me and call me an Uncle Tom. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not an Uncle Tom. I'm just speaking truth to power. That's all I'm doing. So they'll use the black-on-black crime analogy or let's say strategy. They'll use that, and they'll start calling you names. But it's really, they don't hate you because you're a black Uncle Tom. What they hate is the truth that you bring that is bringing down their empire. That's
they have
what
not
they
a
hate.
Love for the truth. Yep.
That's it. That's
you
it.
Know,
they
if
hate,
you say,
they hate
if,
that truth.
Yep, and if you see it in society even, you know, right now, and we can see Marxism all through this, because if you say anything like against Jews, you're an anti-Semite. And you think about that. Jesus would have been labeled an anti-Semite because he had a lot to say to the Jews, and he was Jewish. So they attacked him. You know, and you go
they
back because he was true. Yes.
They killed him.
Because he's over true.
He was coming against their system. He was coming
against your real enemy.
Their pyramid.
Yeah. So the real enemy is the truth. That's, you know,
that's
to them.
Critical race theory is the era that these two gentlemen are fighting. See, I haven't confronted critical race theory where I'm at yet. I haven't confronted that.
Yes.
Because that's not a black church thing. That's a white church thing.
Right.
See?
Right.
And these two guys, even though they're African American, they're among white evangelicals. So that's why they're confronting it, because that's, you know, that's the battlefront that they, you know, it's like in World War II. There were people, you know, you had U.S. soldiers fighting in the Philippines. You had U.S. soldiers fighting in Italy. You had U.S. soldiers fighting in Africa. You had others fighting in France. So, the U.S. Army had different battalions on different fronts. They were fighting the axis of evil, Japan, Italy, and Germany. So these guys are fighting an evil on one battlefront. We're fighting another evil on another. It's all evil.
Another one.
But it's just on different fronts.
Exactly.
It's an all-out war
exactly.
against the truth, but on different fronts.
Right. Well,
see,
I quickly found out that you really need, if you're working against critical race theory or, you know, against Marxism, it's Marxism at the end of the day.
Right.
If you're going against that, you have to be, you know, yoked with someone who really knows the Bible. You do. Because they can twist this, they can turn this, you know, and it's about division. So, you know, that's why I was glad that, you know, between you and Daryl and Virgil, you know, and myself, I mean, I've studied it, but I'm not anything, you know, close to what where you are at or the rest of them. I can tell you that's something you have to know. And how are you going to do that if you're not reading the Bible? If you're going to go after this, that's why he said take notes. Take notes on what we're saying here.
Right,
because
right,
you need
right.
to know how to go up against this. You're going to encounter this in everything, including vaccines, travel, everything in life.
Sure.
It's going to be
absolutely.
Sprinkled with this stuff.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Take notes.
Absolutely. It's like if you appreciated some things from Donald President Trump, but you weren't all into Trump, right? Okay, I like the fact that he is you know, pro-life. I like that. But there's this other thing I don't like. Well, you see, when Trump was in office, if you weren't Trump crazy, there was something wrong with you. Well, no, I don't have to be Trump crazy. Yeah. I just need to look at the man's record and give him praise for some things he did and then frown upon other things that he did. And that's that.
Correct.
I don't have to be cuckoo for Trump. I don't have to be, you know, nuts or wacko for Trump. Now, if you want to
right.
be nutso fracko, you know, that's if Paula White is, you know, I call angels from Africa. If you want to be that stupid, go ahead. But that's not me. That's not me.
I still wish we'd put a video together about that. I had all me entering
yeah.
that. I told you that.
Yeah.
I thought that was funny.
Sure. Sure,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, but that is the point, you know. I mean, you can, in fact, you're idolizing a person if you go beyond that.
Sure.
If you can acknowledge people for what they've done right, but when you, you know, go crazy over a person, you're idolizing that person.
Listen,
that's a sin.
Donald Trump had a moving company packing his stuff so he can go to
mm-hmm.
Mar-a-Lago. Donald Trump had already, you know, he had to be out. There was a moving company taking his stuff and packing it up, and he was making plans to go to Mar-a-Lago, and Paula White was still calling in angels from Africa, and she didn't get it.
She didn't get the memo.
She didn't get the memo. And that's what I mean by Trump crazy. These people
yeah.
are so insane that you can't they have no critical thinking. Everything is just crazy.
That's right.
They're on they only know one level, crazy, and the second level is retarded. Crazy or retarded, it's one or the other.
Yeah.
So that's
yeah.
it.
Well, they're
all
into,
right.
you know, they're idolizing people. So what is it? It's about, you know, people more than the gospel. That's a, you know,
sure.
that's not he's not your savior. None of these people are your savior.
They're not.
You know, so when you put a man out front like that, you're in trouble.
It's crazy. It's crazy. The man did some
good
things, and he did some bad things. That's all. And,
correct.
And that's just
yep.
and that's just being honest, right?
And he's just a man. Yeah.
That's it. You got to be honest. Okay, here's more.
Yep.
You, too, will be accused of not being authentically black.
Right.
And that's
right.
exactly what happened to you. And see, what our listeners need to understand, I'm not saying this trying to endear pity from anyone.
Oh, no, absolutely
This happens to us all the time.
All the time, right, right.
This happens to us all the time. And I've said many times to people we've met in person as we've been speaking in different cities, at different churches, or whatever the case may be, listen, no white person has ever called me a coon.
Mm-mm.
No white person has ever called me a house nigger. No white person has ever tried to label me an Uncle Tom, which if they actually read Harriet Beecher Stowe's book, they would never call us an Uncle Tom because you realize Uncle Tom was the hero of that book, of
right.
that story.
Right.
But this happens to us all the time. The flack that we catch. Now, you got some white, woke, wannabe liberals out there or white liberal believers who want to be woke.
And those are some of the racist individuals I come into contact with.
They are the worst. They are the worst. So because what they're doing, they're reading people like Dates and McKissick and others, and they're reading these academicians that you alluded to earlier who are writing all these books and references on critical race theory, and they're jotting down these little talking points, and then they're using social media to post their little, what I call their little hit-and-run comments. Thinking that they're piling on, trying to tell you and I something, as if there's something with regard to material poverty or economic poverty that you and I both grew up with that we don't know about,
right.
that we don't know about inequality, we don't know about inequity. So they try to teach us something. I mean, it's laughable.
It is. Here's go ahead, bro. I didn't mean to interrupt.
I was just gonna say, man, real quick. This happens to you and I. All the time, you and me, all the time. This is a
yeah.
regular occurrence. So this is why I so often have to remind folks of what my three-word motto is. my three-word motto is I don't care.
Right.
I do not care what you think about me.
Right.
Will you please get that through your head? I do not care. I don't care. So go ahead and save your little keyboard warrior ammunition for somebody else because
right.
it doesn't faze me. It's like I tell people, bro, I've been robbed at gunpoint twice. Do you mean to tell me that you actually think something you can say to me on social media is going to bother me?
No. Absolutely not. That's one of the reasons, one of the things, I mean, I bring up the story not for the purpose of endearing folks to, you know, oh, poor me, because, you know, there were a lot of folks, again, who reached out in kindness and care and compassion. But to the point you just made, bro, this is every – I mean, this is I've dealt with this so long. It's not even when we were in Fort Myer, we talked about this issue. And one of the statements, one of the comments I said was, I would say this is like water on a duck's back, but I would have to then characterize what was done as something valuable like water. I mean, it was so pointless.
That's right.
it was so pointless, so meaningless, and had nothing. This had nothing to do with me. It did two things. It did two things. One, it showed their disdain for scriptural sufficiency. And number two, it showed their ethnic hatred and pride.
Oh, man, yes. That's what I'm referring to when I talk about intra-ethnic racism. It's exactly that. It's exactly that. They are hateful. They are prideful of people who look like them, who have been created who like them, have been created in the image of God. However, because we don't toe the tribalistic, ideological, monolithic way of thinking, they got to come out and blast you on social.
Yep. Oh, absolutely.
You know, I was thinking, man, it's.
But see, let me give an example.
Okay.
If there was a white guy, let's say you had said the same thing, the guy that attacked him would be attacking you. And the reason is not because of the color of your skin, but because the message that you bring. They're clouding it. They're using race. They're using the fact that he's black as a smokescreen. The real issue is he is using the sledgehammer of truth to bring that pyramid down.
That's right.
And that's why they attack. That's why they attack.
That's the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
Right.
Truth
always
gets
you
hurt.
Right. If you're from Mars and you attack ERA, they're gonna bash you, no matter where you come from.
Yep.
That's it. Jesus.
But they sprinkle CRT on it, don't they?
Right.
But it's actually about truth versus
that's
error.
Right. And that's why you have to see in a debate. What you do is, because people are confused, people in the audience will hear that person falsely accusing you of being an Uncle Tom, and you say, no, what I am is an Uncle Truth. You're attacking me because the only thing I keep bringing up is the truth.
Exactly.
So you have to flip the script on them and say, no, you're labeling me this, but the real reason why you're using that to have people chase my prejudice. But you're not against me because I'm prejudiced. You're against me because I stand for the truth.
For truth.
That's it. And don't let them use that. Just say, listen, it's about truth. You hate me because it's about truth. That's all.
Yeah.
That's it.
And the Bible backs that up. That's exactly what the Bible says will happen.
That's it.
You're going to be attacked. For truth.
That's it.
And if you're willing to stand out there and, preach truth, expect to be attacked. And if, doesn't it shut the argument down, though? If you're in a debate and if you can sprinkle CRT in it, it can shut down the debate over truth. You see what I'm saying?
Right. See,
you could have
Jesus,
a debate.
Yeah. That's it. See, when Jesus was preaching the truth to the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes, what did they say about Jesus? They couldn't say he's an Uncle Tom because they're of the same ethnicity. So what they said, this is what they said. They said, oh, you're a bastard child.
Yeah.
Your mother conceived you out of wedlock. Oh, you're one of those.
That's right.
You see how they hit below the belt? See how they hit below the belt?
Yes.
But really, what they were mad about wasn't about Jesus' mother supposedly having him before she was married or engaging in sex before she got married. What they were really mad about was that Jesus was hitting them hard with the truth.
Correct.
See,
correct.
That's why they threw that at Jesus, because he was talking truth, and they had to divert people's attention. Oh, look at him. He wants to be all about the truth now. Well, let's talk about the truth about your mama. Your mama's this. And
yes,
you, as a result, you're this.
Your mama wears combat boots.
Exactly.
That.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
But that was, see, that wasn't the issue. The issue was truth. But they used that because, you see, people like dirt. People, see, people can easily get distracted. That's why a guy like Larry Reed, he's got 100,000 listeners. Why?
Yeah.
Because people like gossip. That's Perry's so rich. Perry's rich. Why? Because he keeps doing these shows where all it is adultery, fornication, you know, all that garbage.
Mm-hmm.
And people are attracted to that. The soap operas.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And I'm going to tell you something. If you're doing that in the church, you're accountable. So if you have 100,000 people and you're wrong, that's 100,000 people you're accountable for.
Sure.
You know, for teaching error. So, you know, guess what?
That's it. And like you read before in Isaiah chapter 5, woe to you.
Mm-hmm.
Woe
yeah.
to you who do this, who do that. Woe to you who are leading the multitude astray. Woe to you.
Yes.
You see, there are consequences. There are consequences.
Yeah, that's like in England, oi. Oi,
right.
That's an expression of, you know, you're dissatisfied with something. It's like, oi, what are you playing at, you know?
Right, right.
Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. All right, we have a few minutes.
Okay.
It's not water off the duck's back, you're right. I kind of look at it as like hot butter on a stack of pancakes. That's how I kind of look at it. They trying to throw hot butter on a stack of pancakes, but all I do is add syrup, bro, and we go to town. We good. You know,
absolutely.
You know, Omaha, you know, it's often been said of critical race theory that it's, quote, infiltrating, unquote, the evangelical church. People say, well, critical race theory is infiltrating the evangelical church. You know, I, for one, though, I beg to differ with that assertion. Now, I say that because in order for the evangelical church to have been, quote, infiltrated, unquote, by CRT or any other man-concocted philosophy or ideology for that matter, to say that it's been infiltrated is by definition to imply or to infer that CRT is somehow surreptitiously or autonomously or clandestinely making inroads into the church despite the church's best efforts to keep it out. That's what infiltration looks like.
Mm-hmm.
That is surreptitiously sneaking in despite the church's best efforts to keep it out. But see, keeping CRT out of the church is not what's happening to an increasingly great extent. What we're witnessing today, what we're seeing today with an evangelicalism, again, particularly in America, is not the infiltration of critical race theory into the church, but the outright embracing of it. You see, Omaha, it's one thing for a worldly philosophy such as CRT to infiltrate the church. That's one thing.
Right.
But when you willingly open your doors and pulpits to that philosophy, you can no longer say it's infiltration.
Right, absolutely.
At that point, when you open the doors and you open your pulpits, at that point you've set out the proverbial welcome mat and invited that philosophy to pull up a seat and order an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert. No, my friend, that's not infiltration.
Right.
That's not infiltration. That's accommodation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
What you got there?
And, well, the accommodation that you mentioned that we see and witness has become ever more present through the growing pragmatism of church culture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church no longer focuses on feeding the sheep. The church focused on numbers became about entertaining the goats.
Hold it.
That's what they're doing, man.
Kick that again, bro. You got to repeat that, bro.
What I'm seeing, and I know you're seeing this, I know we're all seeing this, we're seeing this accommodation that it becomes ever more apparent through the growing pragmatism of church culture. Churches no longer focus on feeding sheep. The church, focused on numbers, became about entertaining the goats.
Mm-hmm.
The church's motivation became attracting lost people through introductory songs to top non-Christian recording artists, right? You've seen this, man, going on in church.
Yep.
Like the intro song to the church when they come in as a track that they're playing, or maybe a group of singers get up and do, and it's a song based upon, you know, the top non-Christian recording artist, you know, top of the chart song. They kind of
right.
intro it that way, right?
Right.
The normative principle has given way to the abnormative principle. Where the ends justify the means,
mm-hmm.
that's the approach that the church has actually taken. For white evangelicals, that meant putting one finger in the air to learn which way the wind of change
mm-hmm.
was blowing
mm-hmm.
and then setting their direction accordingly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for black evangelicals, buried under an abundance of the sermons promoting a narrative of suffering, it was a matter of time before victimology and a media-driven narrative would hold them captive, requiring their rescue. Now, these issues, man, led to the doors being kicked down by CRT long before it became apparent to many. The church was actually ripe for the kind of mess that we're seeing right now on a day-to-day basis with regard to CRT.
All right, since we're running low on time, let me stop it there so that you can – if you have comments to that point.
Well, I would only give a quick example in there. In the Southern Baptist Convention, they took down a few leaders to accommodate other leaders who then opened the door to Marxism because it's
mm-hmm.
full of it. That's one of the worst. That's a perfect example of a leavened denomination due to Marxism. Perfect
right.
example.
Right.
So do you have anything to say what he said about the black church? Do you have anything?
Well, I mean, I would make this blanket statement about the Lord's church in John
mm-hmm.
21 when Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I
yes.
love you. He says, feed my lambs, feed my sheep. So I would say this. Every preacher has been called to feed Christ's sheep, not to entertain
mm-hmm.
Satan's goats.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
You see, the sheep belong to Christ, the goats belong to
mm-hmm.
Satan. And
that's
we're not
right.
called. Jesus said, feed my sheep. He didn't include goats there. He said, feed
that's
my
right.
sheep. And so we're not called to entertain Satan's goats. We're only called to
that's...
feed his sheep. That's it. That's it. So
that was my next statement. Isn't that funny? Because I had the same thing written down. I had the same point, exactly the same point. They decide who the poor and oppressed are. They say, this theology, like liberation theology, is disguised as liberation of the poor and the oppressed. But so the church makes that the main focus. It's not the gospel. Then they pick who the poor and oppressed are. They decide that. And the Marxists convince the church that the enemy is the one speaking truth. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. That's the word. But CRT says no, indoctrinate the church with CRT theology, therefore feeding them junk food. That's exactly
correct.
What I had as a note,
right.
as you just said. So, yeah, it's amazing.
Right. That's,
that's
it.
Right.
And so we feed them. Now, when you look at Joel Osteen's church, right, and you look at the
mm-hmm.
lights, the worship, the praise, the band, and all
yeah.
that, Joel Osteen comes on and he entertains them first with a joke, and then he
yeah.
goes on to preach
yep.
his dopey sermons. That you're just entertaining goats.
Yes.
That's it. But feeding the sheep, that's a different thing altogether.
Yeah.
And to
that's, you know, what they're doing will not change a heart.
Right.
It
right.
will not
and,
convert anyone.
Right, right, right. See, and see, there are people out there, there are remnant saints looking for churches where, or looking for a church where they will be fed. They
oh,
can't
absolutely.
Find one. They can't find a church who's feeding.
No.
They can't find one.
That's right.
Because all of these churches are into entertainment.
Yes. The true church wants truth. That's all they
right.
want.
Right. Paula White says, you know, I'm here today to preach, and I have my Rock and Roll Hall of Fame husband, Jonathan Cain. John, honey, can you say Don't Stop, but can you sing Don't Stop Believing? And that's it. It's entertainment.
Yes, it is.
You know, two goats entertaining the goats.
And she says, give me some money so I can feed everybody. And then she doesn't. She's the middleman.
Yeah, she's the middleman.
Yeah.
She's the middleman. She's the middleman. Yep. So great show as always. We stopped it at the 51-minute mark. 51 minutes.
Okay.
And,
right.
you know, we started at the 16-minute mark. So, we, you know, we still have hours to go here because this is a great podcast. This is great.
Yeah.
The conversation, the back and forth, the revealing of things, the inner dealings with the denomination and the different people involved.
Yeah.
This is very, very interesting. So we'll get back to this next Tuesday.
Well, thank you.
So thank you for this wonderful broadcast. And Saints,
well,
you know what
you.
CRT is now. CRT, right? Critical race theory. CRT. So when you hear it, now you know what it means. And just keep it in the back of your head that this thing might be rearing its ugly head in your church.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, my dear sister, you have the last word.
Well, I would also say that CRT, if you remember, CRT is about division and war. So if you keep that in your head, you know, that would help. And by the way,
absolutely.
I just want to let you know that the Lord cares about you in personal ways. He cares about you so much. So don't forget that. In all this mess, the Lord cares about you so much that even the hairs on your head are numbered. So if you remember that, you know, you can look at this and say, okay, you know, this is something we can't accept. We just want the truth. And, you know, just remember that the Lord loves you. That's all I have to say. And keep moving forward. And we'll see you next week. Thank you. Have a great day. Bye.
Watch I keep. I stand amazed as stars on the billows gleam. No, I know a storm is rising high above a dark horizon. I know, oh Lord, I know you are here with me. Blessed be light. Lord, let it shine out of your heart and healing in mine. When it rains from heaven above, let it rain sweet heavenly love. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. There's a call on the restless tide, like a longing endless night, and it breaks the bow like a raging symphony. And though I may be far from shore, I am anchored to heaven's door. And oh Lord, I know, I know you are here with me. So let there be light, and Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here and in mine. Leave me out of the eye of the storm into the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded by an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, surrounded in an ocean of love. Your grace is enough, your grace is enough. Find me here, oh Lord, I'm surrounded by an ocean of your love. So let there be light, and Lord, let it shine out of your heart, here and in mine. Lead me out of the eye of the storm into the promise of the crimson dawn. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light. Let there be light, sweet Jesus, let there be light. Let there be light, oh Lord, let there be light.